Willkommen zum E-Com Secrets Podcast. Hier erfährst du, wie du mit deinem Online-Shop endlich deine Umsatzziele erreichst, ohne dabei abhängig zu sein von Amazon oder Online-Marketing-Agenturen. Wir zeigen dir, wie du deinen aktuellen Status quo durchbrichst und dabei nicht nur nachhaltig, sondern auch direkt in die Skalierung kommst. Und hier ist dein Host, Daniel Bittmann.
Über 10 Millionen Euro in 30 Tagen mit Facebook-Ads. Herzlich willkommen zu dieser neuen Podcast-Episode hier im E-Com Secrets Podcast. Und wir haben heute einen ganz besonderen Gast, und zwar meinen super herzlichen Geschäftspartner Emanuele Maragno. Und wir werden gleich die ganze Episode wieder auf Englisch machen. Deswegen, ich switch jetzt auf Englisch und dann a warm welcome to Emanuele. How are you today?
I'm amazing and I'm really looking forward to share the story and all the key learnings that we got in the last 30 days, I would say. They are pretty much intense and a lot.
Amazing. I'm super grateful that you're here. I think it's like close to 1 year, or not close to 1 year, but we had long time ago a podcast episode together. It's always a pleasure, and the listeners love always when we give behind the scenes insights, and I'm super happy that you are here. We just finished our November and Black Friday. We are still in December, so the Christmas sales are running. But I think last week we shared a little bit of the results on LinkedIn, both Emanuele and me, and we got so much questions and feedback. So we decided to just open up, just share a ton of learnings we've got from this crazy ride, and just to give you a little bit of perspective and to repeat the numbers that you have a knowledge about what we are talking about. So basically in November 2021, we were able to generate over 10.7 million euros just in 30 days, which is insane. And we spent a little bit above 2.4 million euros on Facebook and on Google Ads. And today we are just talking about media buying, Facebook ads. What were the 9 key learnings? And I'm pumped. So let's dive deep into it. Emanuele, what is our first key learning you want to talk about?
I would say, let's make it big. The Facebook full funnel is dead. Can we say that, Daniel? Can we say it's a little bit aggressive, but I would say we got really this super strong learning by ourselves after iOS 14. And I do believe that this one was one of the biggest leverage that we got, and that allowed us to really succeed in November, still in December, and even in some like testing campaigns back then in October. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts?
I'm totally agree. And for you, dear listener, if you're running Facebook ads, you should be comfortable, or you should know like cold traffic, warm traffic, or tofu, mofu, bofu campaigns and so on, which was valid for the past, I don't know, 7-8 years on Facebook, which is a marketing funnel. But this year, everything changed. And thanks to Apple, the iOS 14 update, everything changed in the ads manager, to be honest. And what we saw, not only in November and on Black Friday, I think it started like mid of this year, or like, I would say July, August, September, this was the months, that the retargeting campaigns, they stopped working so well as they worked before. How could this happen? What do you think?
Well, actually, the technical part about that, I have no idea. We should ask or Apple or like Mark Zuckerberg what was happening in the back end, in their algo. But still, what was surprising for us already, I would say, the strong hit in the punch in the face that we were getting was, I would say, in October, when we were running the first test campaigns to understand how we could have structured the funnels and like scale high on November. And we realized that, well, the cold audiences, they were just performing as strong as the warm. And this was like a really big surprise. And in many cases, the cold, if we were not even excluding the warm and like the hot audiences for our Facebook nerds, let's say, they were performing even better. So we realized, okay, good. We need to reevaluate how we are going to structure all our campaigns, mostly when we want to push hard. And going a little bit backward and like analyzing 2.1 million in ad spend that we got in November. Basically, we spent, just to clarify, we spent a little bit above 2.4 million considering Facebook and Google, but like Facebook, Google was like 300,000. So it was like a minor piece of the cake. The majority was Facebook. We realized that out of the 2.1 million that we spent, 90% of that budget, we were able to push on cold audiences, and they were the most profitable and the most scalable campaigns. And, you know, for me, that I have always been kind of a media buying nerd, Facebook ads lover, whatever, that I was really excluding everyone from each funnel step, was a little bit saying, okay, we need to simplify even like our approach to the ad and really consider Facebook as an acquisition channel more than a retargeting channel itself. We need to give more power to the cold, let's say cold, hybrid cold campaigns, where we are targeting cold audiences, cold people, but we don't exclude the people who were already in our funnel before, who were already knowing a brand. And I think this is like the biggest change that we had to apply. And fortunately, we applied, and it was really effective. And that has allowed us to scale so high, and like even to have the same, on an overall picture, the same ROAS of the like return on ad spend of the last year, but basically doubling the volume of sales. So this is like how I would look at that. What are your feelings, Daniel?
And one thing to add here, because when I think about next year and for the future for Facebook ads, when we just assume that retargeting is less effective and maybe it's like dying out, I see a lot of business will struggle when they sell really high ticket products. So I'm just thinking about like a mattress for over €1,000 per piece and so on. So I think also that the marketing, the digital marketing landscape, they might change next year, because as you said, Facebook will be just an acquisition channel. So you need some sort of offer where people buy immediately and not like with a sales cycle of like 6 months or something, because you cannot track that at all. And the question is if this is still working.
Yeah. Totally. Totally agree. 100%. So now there was the challenge of tracking every single touch point in the customer journey. Now I can say, if we are still trying to do that on Facebook, saying, okay, this is cold, this is retargeting, this is warm, is not just working anymore. So we need to simplify and say, how can we make Facebook as scalable as possible as it was before? This, so is like the first suggestion for all the listeners. Try to build your cold or top of funnel, or how you want to call them, campaigns without excluding anyone, even like the purchases. Don't exclude anyone, because like we know that with iOS 14, we cannot track them. So why overcomplicating the machine and make it not working if we cannot even track that? So that's first learning, I would say, big one. Suggestion, don't exclude anyone in your cold campaigns, and you will see that after 1 month or two, they will, or even earlier, they will outbeat every other campaigns that you have. Obviously, they are all conversion campaigns for us, always optimized for purchase. And you will find your account that is like basically a cold account. So where everything is like cold, but the people that you are targeting, they could be retargeted in the same campaigns. And the only challenge that you will have is like refreshing the creatives on a higher pace, because you could reach more times the people inside the same campaigns. That's the biggest suggestion and the first learning. Facebook full funnel could be dead. Let's put it this way. Could. I leave a could. For me, it's an is, but I leave a could.
So the second key learning we did is quite controversial, I would say. Mm-hmm. I would say all the Facebook reps would tell you something different. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, we tested everything what is out there. So if there's a Facebook rep recommending something to us, we test it, we validate for ourselves. If there's a new guru, if there is a new online course, if there is something in the Facebook group, we test everything. So another key learning is the daily budget allocation. I think Facebook is saying, don't touch your campaigns a lot of times, just let them spend, get your 50 conversions in the time window of 7 days and so on. Emanuele, what was the learning for you, for us, regarding the budgets?
So Facebook, when left alone allocating the budget during the day, is just full of inefficiencies. I will give a little bit more context. What does it mean, inefficiencies? Usually Facebook is recommending, most of the marketing expert or whoever is like behind Facebook and is like on the technical part, they are saying Facebook is smart and even smarter than human beings about where to allocate the budget, in which hours and like in which days and so on. What we realize though is like if we give, for example, 10,000 euros a day to one campaign, Facebook will try to allocate that budget and to spread that budget during all the day. On the other side, Facebook does not know when the people are more, let's say, prone or more happy to buy, because maybe they are at home or they are in the tram or they are having a lunch break and so on. So Facebook will try to reach the people no matter what the hour. From our side, we tested really heavily already in the last Black Friday, November, but more even this year. We're saying, what if we have one campaign spending, let's say, 2,000 euros a day, and we don't touch the hours, and we have the same campaigns where we try to increase the budget, where we know that people are more prone to convert. We realized that the inefficiency could be up to 20-30%. What does it mean? On a 2,000 budget, 500 could be just wasted in some hours of the day or like in some days where the people are not somehow really there to buy. And this was a super ha-ha moment for us because even this Black Friday, we were passing from 2,000-3,000 euros a day to 60,000-80,000 euros a day. And you can imagine the level of this inefficiency. How were we finding the most converting hours then? Because this is like the haha moment that we got. We were, for the Shopify stores and Shopify owners, it is like the easiest and most, I would say, the quickest way to check. You enter in your Shopify store, you are going to check the last, for example, let's take the last four Mondays, and you try to see in which hours of the day the people, you have the spike of sales. When you find a pattern, consider the last 4 hours, you can say, okay, good. If I want to spend 2,000 euros, I should spend the majority of those 2,000 euros in those peak hours. The other solution, and maybe this is like just a proving factor, you can check the conversion rate. If the conversion rate is happening mostly in the evening, you know that you should push the majority of spend in the evening. That was the biggest ha-ha moment that we were having. And we were applying this to all our campaigns. So we were trying to maximize the spend in specific hours of the day and even in specific days, because we realized that for some brands, the Sunday was the most efficient day, for others was the Wednesday, and so on.
Yes, and this is totally against what Facebook would recommend you. I know, because we had a lot of conversations with Facebook and other marketers. And as I told you, we already split tested like everything what Facebook recommends. We saw a really huge upside doing this sort of media buying, which is obviously a lot more work. I would say not every business owner has the work, so they need some sort of like partner agency or something to do this. But at the end, if you are knowing your customer, when they convert and so on, and you buy your ads accordingly, you will be so much more profitable. It will be so much more it will be so much easier for you to scale up, which is at the end the goal of every entrepreneur. So big learning. Yeah. It's against Facebook. So yeah,
I remember one brand owner asking us, "Hey guys, but in order we were explaining how we were pushing the ads, and he was asking, well, but to do that you need to be in front of the ads manager the full day." Yeah, so we know that Black Week, November, and Christmas—that's our job to be there and to exploit every single opportunity that we see in the ads manager and in the Shopify.
Yes, and that brings me actually to the third key learning, which is ads automation. I think without ads automation, and we did a pretty big webinar last year in front of Dipesh Mandalia. He's like, I would say, one of the best marketers on the world. And we had the pleasure to speak in front of his audience. And I would say without ads automation, we were not be able to scale that efficient. Mm-hmm. Because also like just people are like humans, right? So humans need mm-hmm. to sleep, humans need to make mistakes and so on, but the machine, the robots, and this is actually hard to say for all the media buyers, but at the end, a machine is so much more efficient and checking the ads every 15 minutes and is not emotionally attached to a creative and saying, hey, maybe I think this creative is so nice, it will be producing so much more sales, but at the end, it's not. So that was a really big leverage. What is your take on automation, Emanuele?
I think they save so much waste in the ads manager that it's just hard to comprehend the value of them. Because like we realize more and more that mostly with iOS 14, we have a lot of late attribution. What does it mean? Sales coming after, I don't know, 6 hours, 12 hours, 2 days. And just leaving everything to Facebook and to its control is not something that we realize is like beneficial to the budget efficiency and to the high scale. Mostly when we're passing again from budget of 3,000-4,000 euros a day to 50,000-60,000 a day, could be that Facebook starts spending a lot on some ads that it believes they will scale a lot, but that's not for granted. So with the structure, the simple structure, I would say, of automation rules that we built, we were able to push confidently the budget, knowing that there was somehow another human being, let's call the automation a human being, checking every 15 minutes if one specific ad or an ad set or a campaign was wasting budget or was driving sales. So we were really able to cut a lot of losses. And as a consequence, with this confidence, we were able to push higher and higher budget, knowing that, you know what, we need to sleep 2-3 hours. Good, there will be someone else checking heavily, not just one ad, but all the ads that are still running. So it was like, again, another haha moment. The difference with last year, I would say, is like, last year we were really building complex structures of ads automations. This year, with all the challenges that we had post iOS 14, we simplified a lot. And this simplification, in parallel with the simplification that we had in the ad account, was the most efficient one that we could build, and that we will build all the next year evergreen ads and campaigns.
100%. So I would say the next key learning, and I move a little bit faster through the topics. The next key learning we did was regarding creatives, and we will do definitely a specific podcast episode regarding only creatives with our head of video editing. But we can already give like a sneak peek, because that was quite an aha moment. We were producing so much promotional creatives before. I think we started in August to just being prepared, because we wanted to reach the 10 million in November. And then when we launched, we saw something
weird,
I would even say. So what did we realize, Emanuele?
I mean, we realized that we worked a lot, and was really still a good part that we were planning so heavily and so in advance all the promotion, the campaigns. But what we saw is like when we were pushing the new offers with creatives, with new campaigns, somehow the performances were not there as we were expecting. So we were noticing that already at the beginning of October, if you remember. That's like for another suggestion for everyone: test whatever you want to do in November or like week already in October, because you can make so many learnings that will allow you to scale. Going back to the creatives topic, what we realized, like two things were somehow a little bit disappointing for us, that the promotional creatives were performing the same or lower than evergreen creatives. Second, when we were trying to duplicate campaigns or ad sets, they were not really pushing as hard as last year. So in our mind, in October came the idea, why don't we try to reactivate some winning ads and campaigns that they were evergreen? And in October, it worked really well. We did the same in November and during Black Week, and we realized that many times the evergreen creatives, they were outperforming promotional creatives and evergreen campaigns with a lot of data inside, when reactivated and pushed with higher budget, they were kind of outperforming new campaigns. So at the end, I would say, Daniel, was 50-50, we were pushing new campaigns, but even scaling higher existing campaigns. I don't know, we didn't calculate the ratio, but I would say, what are your thoughts about that? I think it's like 50-50.
I would say yes, it was like around 50-50. And I was thinking a lot about why is it happening? And I guess, it's just my guess, but I think because of the fact that retargeting is not working so well anymore, the messages needed to change to in order to convert people. So when you think in a full marketing funnel, like cold, warm, hot, so normally you get the people into your funnel, like for example with the pain point what they have, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the later point, you then do like a Black Friday sale or promotional. So the message you're going to send to your potential customer is, hey, now you can save money, please buy. And then usually to convert. But when the retargeting is not working anymore, so we mostly focus on cold traffic, so people who never heard about you and your brand, and you say, hey, here is 10% off, buy my stuff, it's usually less effective, right? So the winning combination this year, what I understood was opening the messaging with the pain point or the desire what they have in form of a video. It's especially important if you have a product which needs a little bit more context and explanation. And then they click on it and then they land on your online shop and there is the offer, which is like the perfect messaging because they're close to buy. And this combination worked well.
I think there was even an additional reason that is worth mentioning, is that this year, I don't know you, but I was receiving so many ads about Black Week, Black Friday, already at the beginning of November, that somehow the evergreen creatives, they were kind of the things that were, let's say, weird, you know? From evergreen, everyone was moving to the discount, but somehow the people that were still pushing the evergreen, they were hitting the feed with a message that was less promotional, so it was more content focused. And I bet the kind of traffic that was being attracted by these evergreen ads, it was higher than all the people just waiting for the promotion. Then think about that. You enter for your pain point or your desire, and then you find in the store the solution that you were looking for with even a discount, you know, with the buying intent that it is higher in Black Week. So I think these three things together were the reasons why evergreen creatives were working so well, because like there were just a few in the like less and less in the newsfeed rather than the promotional ones. So they were kind of good, finally something that is not selling to me, you know, a promotion, something that has not a discount, but something that is more like a normal content, an informative content for the user. And this was already kind of working last year, but not so hard as this year. It was like, okay, good. We know for next year that we need to really find winners even before, that are not just focused on the discounts and like on the promotional stuff.
And that brings me actually to point number five, because this didn't change this year, which is pretty nice. And it's the relationship between push and pull marketing. Mm-hmm. Or like multi-channel marketing. So we already, like in the webinar, we explained in detail how to manipulate the Facebook CPMs. So if you want to rewatch this webinar, you can check it out on our website, ecomhouse.com. If you scroll to the bottom, there's like a recording of the webinar. It's super interesting. So last year, actually, Emanuele figured out how to bring down the Facebook CPM. So for the same amount of ad spend you have, you reach so much more people. So your campaigns get more profitable. So you can scale much more aggressively. So Emanuele, what did we do this year?
I think we just brought it to the next level. So we got the learnings last year. And like at the beginning of 2021 with some Valentine's campaigns, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Easter, and so on, that when we have push campaigns like this, we need to use all the channels possible to help Facebook becoming cheaper. Everyone knows in the marketplace and like in the advertising industry that November is like the best month to sell, but the hardest month or the worst month for the CPMs, for the cost of advertising. What we realize, like every time that we are giving more inputs from other channels, no matter if it is Google, email, SMS, influencer marketing, YouTube, or like TV, whatever is the additional channel, when we have a kind of blast of emails, for example, or SMS, there will be so many people going on the site that Facebook starts thinking, wow, there are so many people that are triggering the checkout, they are buying. Good, this is a website that has a lot of authority, and that if I send more quality people or more people to that website, they could potentially have a better user experience. So if last year we were playing only with emails mostly, or SMS and push notification, this year we played much higher, building bigger email list to push in the higher spending days, influencers drops, and like other channels like Google, increasing all the budget to just collect even more people. And again, what we were noticing is like even in the biggest accounts that we were going up to 60, 70, 80K a day, as long as we were increasing the budget, the CPM was staying stable or even going down. So this is like one of the biggest maximization of the efficiency that we are having every promotional campaign. And still when we enter in some accounts that we do audits and we are evaluating to start working together, we realize that this is not just exploited from big brands. We realize, okay, wow, how much ad spend is wasted just to don't know this kind of trick that can allow Facebook to scale so high. So I think the learning that we already knew, but like it was confirmed by November, is like multi-channel marketing is the way to go. And it is the way that is making Facebook, the Facebook advertising channel, even more profitable and more scalable, even after iOS 14.
And if you, dear listener, want to implement one of those 9 key learnings, I think this is one of the most profitable things you can do. After November, a lot of people wrote me from like the podcast listeners, and I said, hey, Daniel, the stuff you share in the podcast is so valuable. I was able to scale for the first time to 200K a month and so on. So I was really impressed by just how people can leverage the free content we give in the podcast. But there's a big but, to be honest, because the things are constantly changing. Mm-hmm. And I think this year was one of the most changing years for Facebook ads. Facebook ads is still, in our opinion, the most scalable advertising channel in the world. This is actually key learning number 6. But because it's always changing, and you need to be really part of the game, and like top of the game, to be honest. Besides the agency, what we have, Ecomhouse, last year we already started our, I would say, training program, Ecom Secrets, and you might have heard of it if you're a listener of this podcast. So, for example, this is one of the biggest reasons why we do this, because we really believe in that entrepreneurs with great products and great brands, mm-hmm. they need to scale, right? They need to grow and make the world a better place with good products. So this is our vision regarding our agency and also the training. So if you have good products and you want to scale, and maybe you have like a revenue plateau or something, or you want to be always top of the game with your media buying and scaling strategies, then you can have a look on ecomsecrets.de, .de in German. So yeah, we are always helping other people out. But back to the topic, I don't want to talk too much about what's going on in the background. So the key learning number six is Facebook ads remains one of the most scalable advertising channels. Why is that, Emanuele? What do you think?
First of all, and what changed, or like what are we receiving many times? We are hearing, okay, Facebook doesn't work anymore like before. Yes, that's true. So it doesn't work anymore like before. This doesn't mean that Facebook is not scalable as before. And like for us, November was the confirmation about that. Because no matter all the challenges that that we saw in the e-com ecosystem, we were still able to double the revenue of last year and doubling the spend with the same return on ad spend. So this put the check about saying Facebook is still one of the most scalable channels. Why it is one of the most scalable channels? First, because it is one of the fastest one where you can push the budget and reach more people. There are for sure a lot of many others new channels, and I refer to mostly TikTok coming into the play, that they can have a lot of strong potential. But at the moment, the channel with the majority of users and with the best advertising algorithm is still Facebook, okay? What has changed, though, and what is the pain and the problem of many advertisers and Facebook media buyers, or like e-com brands in general, is that there was a shift. Before Facebook, like before April or AS14, Facebook was doing the heavy leverage about finding the right people that they would buy at the right time with a simple messaging, even not super tailored to the audience. What has changed is like Facebook has lost a lot of data. As a consequence, the algorithm has become a little bit less efficient, or let's say less efficient than before. So now how we counteract that? We need to become better marketers. And we always joke, Daniel, that you punch me in the face in a good way many times, saying, hey, the solution is not in the technical side. It is in the content of that specific ad. We are not hitting the root desire or problem of the user. This way, we cannot sell well. What we realized, and again, more than ever in November, is like Facebook is there. The people on Facebook are there. The algorithm is just a little bit less efficient, but this doesn't prevent to say that Facebook is the most scalable, because there are no other platform where you can invest so much money, so with so much control in a short time and generate so higher scale, like really doubling or 3x the business in like 2 months. That's still just insane. And it has happened again in November. On the other side, this creates a challenge for all the e-com brands, or like all the advertising in general, because we need to work much more on our craft in terms of psychology and human desires, and why people buy a product, why they should buy me instead of another one. Okay, this is like the biggest ha moment that we got this year, I would say, Daniel.
100%. And I tell you guys and girls, we are spending so much time in like before we even create any video ads or graphics to understand the audience. And this is really the big secret, the e-com secret, right? This is really the big secret if you want to sell not just physical products, but also anything else, like in sales in general. You need to understand your audience. You need to speak the same language. You need to understand their psychology. You need to understand what motivates them to purchase your product, how you paint their picture and the dream and so on. So it's coming all down to really, really good direct response marketing. Facebook ads is still a pretty amazing vehicle to push out your message, but your message needs to be good and resonate with people. Otherwise, your Facebook ads won't work and there's no secret ROAS button.
And you said one super true word, vehicle. Facebook is a vehicle. It's still the best vehicle out there to convey the right message with the right problem at the right time, if you can direct the time, for the right user with the right visual, catchy interrupt. That's like are the keys. The summarizing, and then we move to the next one. The big change is like before Facebook was able to know, hey, Daniel in the last week was visiting, I don't know, three websites, thinking about traveling to Tenerife, let's put it this way. Now I'm going to show him the ad from the travel business that was mentioned in Tenerife. Facebook was exceptional at this match in the past. What has changed is like Facebook now has lost quite a little bit of data from Daniel. So he's not sure how to do this match. So now we need to help Facebook doing this match with the content and with the psychology. The other thing that has changed, and maybe this is like not only from Facebook, is like the e-commerce competition has, I would say, doubled or even more this year. So there will be many other people pushing their random messages. So the brands that are able now to find the deep root of why people are buying their products, they are gonna stand on top of the game and in the newsfeed, because the messaging will be much more relevant. As a consequence, more engagement, more interaction on the website, better traffic, better sales.
100%. That's always the key to scale up an account. Okay, I don't wanna dip into all the details here. We will definitely make another podcast episode, I think, purely on psychology, human behavior, and so on. So the eighth key learning we have, and I think this is like it's for all the listeners, it might be a boring one, but it was also another really big key for us to be able to invest 2.4 million euros in ad spend in only 1 month, which is planning and execution structures. And I remember, I think we started planning Black Friday this year in August or something. Mm-hmm. Do you know, Emanuele?
Yeah. Long time ago. It seems like years.
A long time ago. And this was really a key to have everything ready. So we are talking about what is the offer for Black Friday? How do the creators look like? The marketing messages, the angles, the landing pages, the campaign structure, the logistics, the stock level, and there's a lot of stuff going on before you launch your Black Friday campaign. And the better you planned everything, and then the next step, the better you execute on things, the more success you will see.
I want to add two things here. Actually, this for us internally, at least as an agency, was the first key success driver. We moved a little bit down on the list because we know that it seems, and it is a boring stuff, let's be honest. At least personally, I like more talking about Facebook ads, scaling, strategies, rather than planning, deadlines, structures, and so on. On the other side, what we realized is like we had clear in mind what we needed to do and to execute in that specific week. So for many brands in like Q4, like November, December, it is 60 or 70% of the revenue of the entire year. So you cannot leave, or better, the job should be, and the responsibility should be to leave as less as possible to casuality. Even because no matter how well you prepare every Black Week, every Q4, there are always something that it is like unexpected happening. For us this year, and thanks to the amazing team that we have, not just the two of us, we were really able to define all the starting dates of the campaigns, what we needed, how many creatives, which kind of offers, how soon we should test the offers, like in Halloween, in Singles Day. We were pre-testing everything before Black Week. And I would say just a 10% was left to casuality. Reason why I think this is like the first driver, even before all the others that we mentioned. And I highly recommend to the people listening to us, for the next campaign, start thinking about the campaign 1 month before, even two, is never early enough. So for us, after this Black Week, we built a list of learnings and we got 64 mm-hmm. learnings in all the parts of scaling an e-com, from media buying, creatives, emails, and so on. Next year, if this year we started around August, we will need at least to start at August or 1 month before, just to say, how can we forecast even what will happen in November of this year? So big learning, big key success for us, and like and big thank you to all the team, and as well to our partners and e-com brands that they had great products. And I would say, Daniel, we're entering to the last learning that we got.
Yeah, that was the ninth learning, having great partners and brands, because this is really not for granted. Then when you scale a e-com brand, especially when you scale from, I don't know, 100K a month to 500K a month within like 30 days or something, or even like a double or triple or whatever, things are going to break. Logistics, customer support. You might get bad feedback score if you don't take care. You get a lot of bad comments under your ads if you're not mastering the logistics before. So in our agency, Ecom House, we work with a handful of really, really good and selected brands, and also like-minded business owners. Because at the end, if you're not aligned in business or in life, I think in general, great successes are really, really hard to achieve. But if everything is like working, so from our brands, from the clients, from the team, from the execution, things are happening, like 10 million in a month is like happening. So a really, really big thing, big thank you goes out to our partners and our brands, because otherwise, I mean, we are good in selling products, right? But mm-hmm. they are pretty good in developing products, building winning products, doing the fulfillment, the support. And this is also a really, really big key element for the success. Yeah.
Yes. Adding a few things, if I think from even the smallest to the biggest, if I think the biggest was like reaching the 3.2 million in 1 month, that is basically double the last year. In order to do that, you have the double of products to stock, the double of customer request, the double of the risk in the funnels and in the website. So planning ahead, we need to really say a big thank you. First, because the product that they were scaling so high, they were products that the market was needing them. Okay, otherwise you don't sell something that the market doesn't want. That's the reality. They are truth. Second, they were really aligning with our suggestion about how much stock they should plan, how early enough they should have everything ready in the website, in the logistics, in the customer support, in the engagement with the ads. And this, again, could be even one of the first key of success, having products that can scale on a mass market, with all the supply chain and the logistics chain ready to scale. Some of them, and I really appreciated that, they told us, for today, mostly in Black Friday, we can sell up to 2,000 orders, not more, otherwise our logistics will break. So we were saying, good. We stop at 4 or 5. We were stopping all the ads. Instead of burning a business, we were saying, okay, we plan for the long run. Your product is amazing, could scale even higher. The logistics is not already ready for the scale that we could have. So we were slowing down. With others that we knew that we could push, we're going to the extreme. So that's like the other big learning, having great partners with this right mindset, and that they can listen to us and trust us to the full.
100%. And if you are, so maybe you as a listener, you have seen and known that we are not, we did not take any new partners, yeah. I would say since September or something, yeah. Because we are more focused on quality and growing our partners instead of like having a ton of clients and then just delivering average results. This is not our, goal. We want to be exceptional. So while we were growing with the brands, with our partners, we were also scaling up our team, like we were growing. So we might open up one or two slots for the agency in January. So if you say, hey, I wanna have the biggest year of our brand's life in 2022, then check out our website, ecomhouse.com, and apply for a free consulting session. So we already have a waiting list, but we are still not sure which brands we are going to take. So take the chance, check out our website and be part of, or be the next success story.
I want to add even one thing on the other side. As we are growing, we will see if we open some slots or not in the first Q1. But I would say as we are growing on the partnership side with new brands, we're even growing internally. So if there are some listeners that are passionate about media buying, emails, creatives, whatever, that would like to apply and to work with us internally, please do that as well, because we always need A-level talent in our team. And we realized that our clients were scaling so high and with so much success, even thanks to all the A-level team players that we have internally in our team. So this is like both sides, stimulus to apply.
Amazing call to action. I love it. So as for the next episodes, as we already mentioned, we are planning to do this kind of episodes about the key learnings. I think the next will be regarding creatives and email marketing. We'll definitely do one for e-commerce growth strategy. And then we will see what else we want to share. And I'm really looking forward for the next podcast episodes. We might even interview one or two brands of us because they said, hey, we want to be in your podcast. So let's see if we even do this. And do you have anything to add, Emanuele?
I would say nothing else. I think along the way, we will have other learnings if the listeners will find this kind of podcast useful. Just let Daniel know so we can even plan other ones, maybe more deeper. And what else? Nothing. I think it was kind of packed of big learnings that if just one or two get applied, there will be already an increase on the revenue and on the performances on the ads. I'm sure about that.
Amazing. And a big thanks to you, Emanuele, that you have been a guest again. You are always welcome. We should definitely do this on a regular basis. Maybe once a month or something, we share our newest learnings. And I wish you all the best.
Amazing. See you later. Ciao, Daniel.
Ciao, ciao.
Wir hoffen, dass dir diese Folge wieder gefallen hat. Wenn du auch endlich konstant und profitabel 6- bis 7-stellige Umsätze mit deinem Onlineshop erreichen möchtest, dann gehe jetzt auf ecomsecrets.de und buche eine kostenlose Strategiesession. In diesem 45-minütigen Gespräch zeigen wir dir ganz genau, welche Schritte du umsetzen musst, um profitabel skalieren zu können. Es sind immer die gleichen 5 Elemente, die du meistern musst, um deinen Onlineshop erfolgreich zu machen. Du willst wissen, welche das sind? Gehe jetzt auf ecomsecrets.de und finde es heraus.